It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
This is a study about the tribulation period we read of in the Bible. My perspective of the tribulation is based upon the Word of God. If you hear me reading from the Bible a certain passage, and that passage doesn't match what your Bible says, then you are not using the Bible I use. I use the King James Bible. I believe the King James Bible is the inspired Word of God. Each subject and lesson I teach is based upon the Word of God. As we study, we find that the tribulation period will be a time of deception and despair. We will also find that within the pages of the Bible that during the 7 years of tribulation, God is still willing to receive those who are willing to receive the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, as Savior. May the Lord guide and direct us as we look into His Word. Join with me now as we study Lesson 5 of the Tribulation.
As we continue our study in the subject of the tribulation, let me remind you that some feel that they are in tribulation today. Now, of course, there is tribulation in a person's life that comes along. Tribulation such as finances, maybe a person's having trouble with in a financial situation. Maybe it has to do with a house. It even goes to the point of maybe even death of a loved one, or something along those lines. But, you know, that type of tribulation is nothing compared to what is going to take place on this earth. Now, I don't mean to trivialize a person's problems that they're going through today. It's just the fact is that that is nothing compared to what's going to take place in the future. And I believe it's the near future as well. Well, we've discussed several things in our study of the tribulation. And one of the things, and I believe the last thing that we discussed, was how will the tribulation begin? Well, the prince of Daniel 9:26 will make a peace treaty or a covenant with Israel. And that's according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. And 27, Daniel 9:27 says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." And that week is a representation of 7 years. And as we keep reading and studying, we find that this covenant will be accepted by Israel. Well, why will Israel sign a covenant or a peace treaty with the Antichrist? I believe that the covenant will come after the first battle of Gog and Magog. Now, Gog and Magog won. I've spoken of this before. There's two battles of Gog and Magog. And this Gog and Magog won, I believe, will take place just before the tribulation starts. And I believe just as there were two world wars, one and two, this first battle of Gog and Magog should be considered as number one. The second battle of Gog and Magog will be at the end of the millennium, Revelation chapter 20. Well, I believe that the battle of Gog and Magog won, once again, happens just before the tribulation starts. And the Antichrist will possibly take credit for defeating those who come against Israel in the battle of Gog and Magog 1. Now we know that it is the Lord who defeats Israel's enemies during that battle as they come to destroy Israel. And as we keep looking at this, the fact of the matter is the door would seem, would be open at this point for the Antichrist to make the peace covenant with Israel after claiming victory for Gog and Magog. He just comes on the scene and now he's in a position of leadership, some type of leadership, and then he is going to take he's going to take the credit for the victory of Gog and Magog 1. Now, it will take 7 years after this battle to clean up after the first war of Gog and Magog. And you say, how do you see that? Well, Ezekiel chapter 39 and verse 39, Ezekiel 39 verse 9 says, And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire for how long? 7 years. Well, cleanup. This takes 7 years. Now, remember, Ezekiel 39:9 is using the illustrations here of bows and arrows and bucklers. These are things of war. And it's not necessarily true that these same things will be used during the Battle of Gog and Magog 1. Now, I believe it's going to be more modern. But during this writing of the scriptures, this is how the writer could best describe the articles or weapons of war. Well, the cleanup's going to take 7 years, according to Ezekiel 39:9. And is this a coincidence? Well, how long is the tribulation? Well, the tribulation will last 7 years, and we've talked about that. There are no accidents with God. So it takes 7 years to clean up all this mess that has taken place there. And at this time, we see no mention of the Antichrist either before or in connection with this battle. And evidently, he does not really make himself known until after the battle. Well, this covenant will be made, and then we see that the covenant will be broken. The Antichrist breaks the covenant with Israel, according to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 4. Well, the ending of this peace treaty will take place in the middle of the seven-year tribulation. You can read that in Revelation chapter 13, verses 5 through 7, but notice Revelation 6, 4, and it says, "And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." In other words, he was ready for battle. He had the means of carrying out and performing death. Well, in Revelation 13, 5 through 7, and we read there, I'm going to go ahead and read those verses, and it says, "And there was given unto him," this is the Antichrist, the beast, "there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. This is the second half of the tribulation. These 42 months would be considered the great tribulation. And verse 6 goes on and says, "And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." Well, notice in those verses that authority is given to the Antichrist to act for 42 months to make war with the saints. Now, verse 7 of Revelation 13, it says that the Antichrist has been given power to overcome the saints. But notice, it does not say that he overcomes them all. He only has the power to overcome them. The power's there, but it does not say that he overcomes every one of them. Now, Revelation 11 is the first explicit reference in Revelation to the beast. Now, John no doubt recognized him as the fourth beast of Daniel's prophecy, Daniel 7:7. Now, he will already have become sufficiently powerful as a world leader, and he would have done away with the other beasts mentioned in the book of Daniel. Well, why the tribulation? Why will this take place? Well, the gospel of the kingdom will once again be preached. Now, the gospel of the kingdom is not the same as the gospel of Christ. We're going to look at that. The gospel of the kingdom is not the gospel of Christ as we read in the book of Matthew. It says in Matthew 4:23, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." And verse 14 of Matthew 24 says this, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Well, it's going to be preached during the tribulation period. We know that. Well, the end of the world is the end of the age, or the world as it is known at that time. Well, in Revelation 14:6, how is the gospel of the kingdom going to be preached throughout all the world? Revelation 14:6 says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel," we'll speak of that in just a moment, everlasting gospel, "to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." Now, the gospel of the kingdom is the gospel, or the good news of, or about, the Messiah, the King of the Jews. In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." What gospel? The gospel of the kingdom. Now, there are several scriptures that point to this, but I would like for us to realize that the gospel of the kingdom is not the same as the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that in just a moment. Look, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2 says, saying, "Where is he that is born what? King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." These, of course, would be the wise men who came to worship Jesus, King of the Jews. Matthew 27:11, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest." And then in verse 29 of Matthew 27, "And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews." They didn't even realize what they were saying and what they were doing here, but they were actually saying that he was the King of the Jews, and he is and was the King of the Jews. In Matthew 27:37, it says, "And set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Well, he's King of the Jews. Well, the gospel, or good news of Christ, presents Christ as, notice this, as Messiah, Savior, and King. 1 Corinthians 9:12 says, "If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the what? Gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:17, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." Gospel what? Gospel of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 9:23, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." Well, there's many scriptures that speak of this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25 says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." What gospel? The gospel that Jesus saves. 2 Corinthians 4:4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." 2 Timothy 1:8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," Paul says in Romans 1:16, "for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Next time we're going to look at the gospel of Christ, Christ the Messiah, and Christ the Savior, Christ the King. And you prayerfully will see that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached once again during the tribulation. Do you know him today as your Savior? Receive him today. Ask him to come into your heart. "Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. I want to serve you and go to heaven one day."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.